Today's shir is Masechta Kedushin Daf Chav Tes. We will begin Be'ezra Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Chav Tes Amar Aleph at the Mishnah towards the top of Amit. Says the Mishnah, Kol mitzvahs haben al av. All the mitzvahs of a son of the son has to be the father has to do for a son. Anosh mechayavim, men are chayv. Fathers have to do those mitzvahs on behalf of their sons. V'nosha b'turis, but mothers are not obligated. V'chom mitzvahs ha'av ala ben, but when we speak about mitzvahs that sons have to do on behalf of their fathers, their halacha is echa anoshim v'echa anoshim, both men and women are equally chayiv. So, of course, many mefarshim try to understand how do these halachas that we're learning come into our Masechta, come here? So Dvar explains is that since we're going to learn one of the mitzvahs that a father has to do for his son is help him get married, so since we're learning Masechta Kedushin, it's most appropriate that it should be mentioned here, the mitzvah of getting married. The Tosfos Rit explains that since we learned in the previous Mishnah the differences between Hegdish and Hegit, and we learned that Hegdish, certain kinyanim work that don't work by Hegit, vice versa. So that's why the Mishnah felt we should also continue discussing the differences between, some of the differences between men and women. And another pshat that I saw is that since the previous Mishnah did speak about the special obligations that there are in Hegdish, and we're going to be learning in our Shiurim how Kibbut Ava'im is compared to that. So since Kibbut Ava'im is compared to that, that's why it's most appropriate that Kibbut Ava'im, which is compared to Hegdish, should be mentioned here as well. The comments to say Shizman Groma, continues the Mishnah, any mitzvah to say Shizman Groma, Anoshim Chayovim, men Achayiv, but women are potter for mitzvah sasei shaman grama. V'ka mitzvah sasei shaloi zman grama. But if it's a mitzvah sasei that shaloi hazman grama, then the halacha is echad anoshim v'echa anoshim chayavim. Both men and women are obligated. V'ka mitzvah sasei, whenever we speak about a mitzvah loi sasei, Bench is man grama, bench lay is man grama. Whether it's a mitzvah say she is man grama, whether it's a mitzvah say she lay is man grama, the other halacha is echad anoshim v'echad anoshim chayavim. Both men and women are obligated. Chutz, except for the lav of paltakif, the Torah says loy sakifu as pas roishchem. That halacha only applies to men and not to women. And actually, not only does it only apply to men and not to women, but the question is that halacha that we have to discuss is we men are not allowed to cut off our payas. What is the halacha about a woman cutting off a man's payas? Or about tashchus, the same thing is regarding the beard. Or about the tamal kohanim, the halacha is that a kohen we know is not allowed to become tamei. The halacha is only regarding to a man, a kohen, but a bas kohen has no iser becoming tamei. The Rishash asks a question: why? What about the halacha that on yontif everybody has to be tar? Chayv adam latar atzma beregel. So suggests the Rishash, as far as that halacha is concerned, the halacha of chayv adam latar atzma beregel, says the Rishash, that halacha actually applies to women as well. Only this halacha of tuma applies strictly to men, not to women. But the halacha that on yontif we all have to be tar applies, says the Rishash, equally to men and to women. Says the Gemara, my kamitzas aben al av. So again, begins the Gemara to understand what was meant when the Mishnah said kamitzas aben al av. Ilema says the Gemara, if you're going to say that kol mitzvah the mechayi bro lemebel abba, any mitzvah that a son has to do on behalf of his father, Noshim Peturis. We're going to say that women are not obligated. Says the Gemara, is that the case? For Tanya, the Pasuk says, Ish imoy v'aviv turo, only ish. The Pasuk says, ish. Ish, of course, meaning a man. Only el ish. Ish minayin. How do we know that this halacha applies to women as well? Shoyme ish imoy v'aviv turo. So here the Pasuk uses the word turo, which is a lashon rabim. We learn from here, reikan shnayim. From here we learn that both men and women are obligated in the mitzvah of showing respect to parents. So there is Atmos Yosef asks the obvious question. He says, we just learned in our Mishnah that any mitzvah say, women, shiloy azman groma, women are obligated. The mitzvah kibar ave'im is certainly a mitzvah say, shiloy azman groma. So why would we think that women are exempt? So answers Atmos Yosef, that's exactly what the Gemara means to say. That even though our Mishnah just taught us that all mitzvahs say shloi hazman groma, women are obligated, but because the Torah uses the word ish, maybe it comes to teach us that in this mitzvah say, even though it's shloi hazman groma, women are exempt, teaches us the braisa that they are chayiv because of the word tirua. And I saw other Rishonim explain, as the Gemara is going to speak about, that since it sometimes women have a challenge be able to do the mitzvah kibbut of aim because they have other obligations. That's why we would, and in fact, in certain such circumstances, they're exempt from the mitzvah kibbut of aim. So we would think that that's why they're part, that they should always be exempt. That's why the Torah is teaching us when those situations exist, they're exempt. Otherwise, they're chayiv. So says the Gemara, what does the Mishnah mean? I'm reviewing the Hachkama. Kom mitzvah saben hamatalis al av lasis b'noi. Any mitzvah that a father has to do on behalf of his son, anoshim chayavim, men have to do those mitzvahs. Noshim, women, mothers, don't have that obligation. Says the Gemara, actually it turns out that our Mishnah, tanina l'hod atan rabbonin, our Mishnah is teaching us what we learned in the Braisa. Ha'av chai b'bnoi, a father is chai regarding his son, l'moiloi, to make a bris milah for him, l'vdoisoi, to make a pinyan ben for him, l'alam de Torah, to teach him Torah, l'asiyai ishoi, to marry him off, l'alam de umdes, to teach him a profession. V'yei shomrim, af, and all of this will be learned in Pesukim as we get into the Shir. V'yei shomrim, Afla Shita B'mayim, he has to teach him how to swim. Yudaimer, Kol She'enim Melamdoi Es B'noi Umnes, whoever doesn't teach his son a profession, is Melamdoi Listus is teaching him to steal. So ask the Gemara, Listus Al-Kadaitach, where did he teach him to steal? He didn't teach him a profession, but where is he teaching him to steal? Answers the Gemara, Kila Melamda Listus. It's treated as if he taught him how to steal. If he doesn't have a legitimate way of making a living, then his father, then the son will end up doing something dishonest. So the Arzarua says that our Bryce just said that the father has to do a bris milah for his son. So the Arzarua says that if we have a father who knows how to do a bris milah himself, then he should do the bris milah himself and not ask somebody else to do it on his behalf. Daki Moshe asks on the Azarua that we often learn in our shiurim that a person can ask a shliach to do a mitzvah on their behalf. So why is a bris milah different? So says the Ktzois. The Ktzois says that just like there's a concept of a mitzvah shebegufay, a mitzvah that I have to do myself, there I can't ask a shliach. I can't ask a shliach to put on tefillin on my behalf. Says the Ktzois that doing a bris milah, if you can do it yourself, is considered a mitzvah shebegufay. And since it's considered a mitzvah shebegufay, if you could do it yourself, you can't ask a shliach. The Makna disagrees, and he says that even if somebody who can do bris milah himself, should if he could, as long he could still ask someone else to do it. He says the mitzvah is that a father should make sure that his son had a bris milah, but not that he must do it himself. The Tefuah Shor has a very interesting approach to this question. Tefuah Shor says that how technically a father could ask someone else to do the bris milah on his behalf, but it shows a lack of respect to the mitzvah when, if you could do it yourself, you ask somebody else to do it. Next halacha was that the father has to do a pidyon haben for a son. What would be the halacha if a boy does not have a father? So what will be the halacha regarding his pidyon haben? So the Ramah says that we make a silver plate that says on it the words loy nifta, that this child never had a pidyon haben, and therefore he should wear it until he becomes a gadol. And once he becomes a gadol, then he should do his own pidyon haben. The Shach disagrees. The Shach's opinion is that it's better that we, Beis Din, or the family, should do the pidyon haben on behalf of this child, rather than waiting for him till he becomes a gadol and then maybe forgotten. Techsam Sofer, along the same line, says that we should give money, Zoch L'Adam Shalei B'Fanav, so we should make the money the property of the child. And once we make the money the property of the child, we could use that money because he has a chiv to do the pidyon haben by himself. The Chem de Shloimeh says we should do the pidyon haben when he's a child and give the kohen the money and make a tanai that if this child will remember when he becomes a gadol to do a pidyon haben, the kohen will give him back the money and he'll make a proper pidyon haben as a gadol. And if he won't remember, then this pidyon haben will be the valid pidyon haben. The Sefer Birkas Avraham says that the Mishnah says the Gemara, the Braisa we just quoted, said Lamda Taira Lasi Isha or Lamda Umnes. Isn't usually the case that somebody gets that, as the Batanura says, that usually you get married and then you go out to work. But the others say, the Rambam's opinion is, that this obligation that somebody should first learn a profession and then get married. The Yerushalmi points out that even though all of these mitzvahs that we just learned a father has to do for his son, the Yerushalmi says that we don't force a father to do this, and even though it's certainly the obligation for a father to do these mitzvahs, we can't force them. There are those that disagree. I saw a beautiful vart. The Gemara says, "Lamde umnes v'yesh oimrim af l'shita b'mayim." What does it mean that you have to teach him how to swim? The halacha is that, and what's the connection between lamde umnes and l'shita b'mayim? So I saw a pshat that yes, a father has to teach a son a profession, as we're learning. And the father teaches his son a profession, and usually having a profession involves going out to the world and meeting all types of people and coming in touch with all types of situations. And the world could sometimes be a dangerous place. So teaches us the Gemara. We're teaching him l'lam de umnes. We're teaching him to a panosa, but as much as we're teaching him a panosa, we also have to teach him the lashit v'mayim, how to swim in the dangerous world that may be out there. The Reb Baruch Ber used to say that our Gemara just said that we have to teach our children omnis, we have to teach our children a profession, but asked Reb Baruch Ber that isn't there halacha? Isn't there a pasuk that says "Vagisa b'yom v'layla" that we're obligated to learn Torah all the time? So how can we fulfill "Vagisa b'yom v'layla" at the same time that we're learning l'lamdei umnes. So he says that that's exactly what he said in the name of his Rebbe, Reb Chaim Brisker. He says that's exactly what the Mara is teaching us. Yes, we have an obligation to make sure that our children have panosa. But our obligation to make sure our children have panosa is up to the point that he shouldn't be a listen. We have to make sure that our children have panosa, and they shouldn't, chas v'shalom, become dishonest people. But even though we have to teach them that not to be dishonest people, it should only be for that purpose. Not that we should teach our children umnes, not that we should teach our children that they have to make a living to the degree that it will be what they do all the time. It's only up to the degree that they shouldn't be listing, that they should have what they need to live, and then afterwards they should be vagisa by yom v'layla. Moreover, I saw the Gemara just said that a father has to marry off a daughter. So I saw that the Marit makes a very interesting observation. He says, often we find that parents are very involved at night, very involved in marrying off their daughters and spend money for marrying off the daughter. But here we see that the real obligation is for a father to marry off a son. And therefore, he says that that becomes a obligation. And the Shalz Chuvas Oz Nidbur Chelik Tes Simen Nun Aleph says that certainly any father who has the ability to marry off his son should not say, well, this is an obligation on the Kala side. On the contrary, he should take that opportunity and do the mitzvah of Lasia Ishak. We learned for the Mishnah, the Braisa just mentioned, Lemoyloi, that the father has to do a bris milah for his son. Says the Mar Menolon, from where do we notice halacha? Says the Mar Diksiv, because the pasuk says, V'yomal Avraham as Yitzchak Benoi, that Avraham Avinu did a bris milah for Yitzchak's son. So the Pnei Yeshua asks a question. Why are we saying that from here we see that it is the father's obligation? Maybe Avram Avinu's role in doing the bris milah was as the bezdin, because we know, as the Gemara says, that Avram Avinu zokin for Yoshe be yeshiva. So Avram Avinu's role was not because of a father, but as bezdin. So the Pnei Yeshua answers, because the Torah adds the word for Yomal Avram as Yitzchak benoi. So it's, you see clearly that it's benoi, it's because of his son. Others say that the pasuk says, because we're going to learn, so from there we see that it's the father's obligation, and therefore we know that it's the father's obligation. The Michas Chinuch asks a question. Here we're learning that a father has an obligation to do a bris milah. So his question is, does that obligation remain forever, or is that obligation stop when the child is already a gadol and then has his own obligation? So he says that his opinion is that the obligation is a obligation that remains forever. Because as we're going to learn, there's a discussion about a bris milah if it's considered a mitzvah seishas man groma. Now, if the father's obligation, and if it would only be till he's a gadol, then it's certainly a mitzvah seishas man groma. The fact, as I'm going to learn in a moment, that it's not considered a mitzvah seishas man groma is clearly an indication that the obligation on the father remains even after the child is a gadol. Says the Gemara, and if his father didn't do bris milah, it becomes the bezdin's obligation to do the bris milah. The ksiv him alachem kol zocher. Says the Gemara, and if bezdin did not do a bris milah for this child, he has to make a bris milah for himself. The ksiv, as the pasuk says, nobody has an excuse to say, well, nobody the Rebbe Smil for me, so I'm not obligated. The Meiri, quoting the Goinim, say that when the Bresden does the Bris Mila, they make the same bracha as a father of the bracha lachnisa bebrisa shel Avram Avinu. And however, he quotes that the some places the minig is the moel makes the bracha. The Rambam's opinion is that if the father is not doing the Bris Mila, then the halacha is that this bracha is not made. And the Ravid and the Rambam are the one who have the opinion that the Sandik should be the one to make the bracha. And the Beis Yosef explains, because the Sandik is considered the shliach of the Beis Din. And since the Sandik is the shliach of the Beis Din, and as we just learned in the Gemara, it's the Beis Din's obligation, so the Sandik acting in there as their representative makes the bracha. So we have three opinions. One opinion is the Beis Din makes the bracha. Another opinion is that we have four opinions, actually. The Beis Din makes the bracha, the Moel makes the bracha, the Sanding makes the bracha, or no bracha is said at all. The Rosh says that when the Gemara says here that the Beis Din does the Bris Mila if there's no father, explains the Makna in explaining the opinion of the Rosh, it doesn't mean the Beis Din. What happens if there's a community where there is no official Beis Din? The Makna says it means that it's the obligation of the community to make sure that this child has a Bris Mila. And in fact, that's the way the Rama says. And the Rama says, under such circumstances, the Moel, who normally gets paid to do Bris Mila, here should not get paid. He should just do the Bris Mila for this child who needs a Bris Mila. Daruch HaShulchan has an interesting approach. His approach is that it's certainly the first obligation is on Beis Din. But if there is no Beis Din who's intervening, then the halacha is that then every Jew should see that that this child should have a Bris Mila. But ask the Gemara Ihu, but furthermore, the Gemara says if nobody else, then the obligation is on the son himself. What will be the halacha? One, the Michis Chinuch discusses where the father didn't do the Bris Mila, and now the child it becomes a gadol. So as we mentioned, some hold that the father's obligation continues, and some say it doesn't continue. What about what about the mother? How do we know that the mother's not obligated? The ksiv keshetziva oisai lekim. From here we learn oisai v'loy oisah. It's only an obligation on the father, not on the mother. So Tosfos asks, why do we have to have a limud that the mother is exempt? We just learned in our Mishnah that women are exempt from mitzvah sasei shezman groma. And the Bris Mila is a mitzvah sasei shezman groma because he's only chayiv in the Bris Mila when he's 8 days old. Says Rav Chaim Briska, he says the obligation to have a Bris Mila begins the moment the child is born. That obligation is there from the very first moment. The Torah says it can't be technically done until 8 days pass. But since that chiyuv is there right away, and I saw the Yalkut Meiri saying the same pshat, this all pshat in Tosfos, that the obligation is there right away just because the child is weak or other considerations. That's why the Bris Mila, that's why it's not considered a mitzvah zasei shizman groma. The Divrei Yecheskel, in explaining what Rav Chaim Briska means to say, says as follows. There's a fundamental question in understanding what is the mitzvah of Bris Mila. Is the mitzvah of Bris Mila to make a Bris Mila on a Jewish boy? Or is the mitzvah of Bris Mila that when the boy, that every a Jewish boy is not allowed to be without a Bris Mila? So Divrei Yecheskel suggests that actually they're both obligations. She says that the rule that every Jewish person should not be without a bris begins immediately. So that's not a mitzvah seseh shezman groma. The rule that you have to actually make a bris milah begins by the eighth day. And therefore, that maybe is a mitzvah seseh shezman groma. But since the other part of the mitzvah is not a mitzvah seseh shezman groma, that's not what the Gemara could have said, the reason women are exempt. The Taisus and Megillah has a different teretz. Because since we know it's such an important mitzvah, the mitzvah of bris milah. So the Gemara's question is that even though normally women are exempt from the mitzvah, say, shizman groma, but maybe bris milah is different given the importance of this mitzvah. The Ramban and the Ritva answer that when do we say that women are exempt from mitzvah, say, shizman groma, that's only a mitzvah, say, shizman groma that affects them themselves. Here we're talking about a mitzvah seseh shezman groma on their son. There we don't have this exemption. The Maritz says that since a person, bris milah, is with them their entire life, the way I understand the Maritz, that's why it's not considered a mitzvah seseh shezman groma. Pnei Yeshua answers that when a woman exempt from mitzvah seseh shezman groma, it's only for mitzvah seseh shezman groma that cannot be done through a shliach. But any mitzvah seseh shezman groma that could be done through a shliach, the halacha is the women don't have the exemption of mitzvah seseh shezman groma. Pnei Yeshua gives another teretz, because he says we find in the pasuk in the Torah that the pasuk says v'tikach tzipora. So we actually have a proof from the Torah that women did do a bris milah. Miches Chinuch says because we find that the Bnei Keturah had a bris milah, and since they had, since the Bnei Keturah had a bris milah, therefore the halacha is that maybe this doesn't, the rule of mitzvah seseh shezman groma doesn't apply here. Another teretz that I saw is, where does the Torah teach us oisa v'loy oisa, that only the father has the obligation and not the mother? So explains the Pnei Yeshua, says the Miches Chinuch, by Sarah, that the Torah is telling us that only Avram Avinu had this obligation and not Sarah. This exemption of women from mitzvah seseh shezman groma was not applicable in the time of Sarah. The rule of mitzvah seseh shezman groma only came later. So since that halacha only came later, that's why the Torah had to say that even though we don't have the exemption of mitzvah seseh shezman groma, still, so that's not the reason why Sarah didn't do the bris milah. It's because oisa v'lo oisa. So in other words, it's very interesting what the Torah is saying. What the Neches Chinuch is actually saying, that the Torah, that if, it could be that Tosfos is correct, and that in future generations, women are exempt from making a bris milah because it's a mitzvah seseh shezman groma. The Torah had to teach us this halacha only for Sarah, who did not have the exemption of mitzvah seseh shezman groma. Ashkecha miyad. So we say, and ask the Gemara, we find that Avram Avinu has had to teach how to do bris milah for his son. But ask the Gemara, l'doyrus menolon, how do we know that this applies in all future generations as well, that the father has to make a bris for his son? Answers the Gemara, Tana d'Beir Bishmo, kamakam shenem tzav, wherever the Torah used the word tzav, eina ela ziris. The Torah is encouraging us to do it, and not only for them, for all future generations. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, V'tzaves Yeshua, V'tchaskeyu v'amtzeyu, he should be strong, miyad uladoris. The Ksiv, the Pasuk says, M'yoyim ha-shetshiv Hashem v'holol doris seichem. It goes on for all that for all future generations. So since by the bris milah, Torah Kedosh uses the words, Kashet Tziva, Oysa Lakim, we see from here it goes on forever. We learned further that the father has the obligation to make a pinyan aben. The ksiv kol b'chor b'necho tifta, says the Gemara. V'hecha d'loy parke ever, if the father did not make the bris pinyan aben, mechiv iu l'mifriki. So then the child should do the pinyan aben for himself. The ksiv tifta ti poder. You should see that the child should have a pinyan aben. But the Shita, Leinoid Lamy points out, unlike by a bris mila, by a pinyan aben, there is no obligation on Bezdin to do the pinyan aben. It's only obligation on the father, and if the father doesn't fulfill that obligation, the son should do it himself. And that's what Yosef has an interesting explanation as to why. He explains that the reason is because pinyan aben, by definition, involves chasaron kis, giving the 5 coins to the kohen, and it's the Torah did not want to make an obligation to do a pinyan aben on Bezdin that they should have to spend that kind of money. Continues the Gemara, v'ihi, the mother, menolan delay mifkada. How do we know that she's not obligated to do a pinyan aben? The ksiv tifte tipoda. Whoever who has an obligation to make a pinyan aben for themselves, men, mitzvah of Sacherim, have to do a pinyan aben for their sons. However, the kol she'ein mitzvah liftes is atzma, but if there's no obligation on the individual themselves to have a pinyan aben, ein a mitzvah liftes Sacherim, they don't have to do a pinyan aben for others. Ask the Gemara v'iyim and nolan delay mechayel l'mifka nafsha. How do we know that a woman is not obligated to do a pinyan aben for herself? Says the Gemara, tifta tipoda. From here we learn, when we have a situation that other people have to make the pidyon mitzvah lifter sasatzmai, that's when the person should make a pidyon ben for themselves. The kol, but where there is no obligation on others, a mitzvah lifter sasatzmai, they don't have to do it for themselves. Ask the Gemara, from where do we know that others aren't obligated to do a pidyon ben on the daughters? Says the Gemara, Damakra, because the pasuk says, "Kol b'char b'necha tipode." From here we learn b'necha, that this halacha only applies to you, to your sons, but v'loy b'nesecha, this halacha does not apply to your daughters. Tanabonim, continues the Braisa, who liftos? The father never had a pinyan aben. The father never had a pinyan aben, u'b'noy liftos, and the son never had a pinyan aben. Whose pinyan aben should go first? So says the Braisa, who koydim b'vnoi? His pinyan aben should take place before his son's pinyan aben. Rabbi Huda disagrees, and he says, b'noi koydimai, the son's pinyan aben should take place first. Shezeh mitzvasa el aviv. The obligation is on the father, so the father has to fulfill his obligation of doing a pinyan aben. Shezeh mitzvah b'noi alav. And therefore, he should do his son's obligation, because that is his primary obligation. So the Bi'ah Halacha in Siman Tef Resh Nun Vav asks a question. We know that the mitzvah of any mitzvah is a person only has to spend up to 20% to fulfill a mitzvah. If we're referring to a situation where a person doesn't have even 5 sloim for himself and for his son to do a pinyan aben, so then why is he obligated to do a pinyan aben? So one answer I saw is that the Gemara doesn't mean that there's going to be an actually pinyan aben. The Gemara is saying when the opportunity to do a pinyan aben will arise, whose pinyan aben should be done first? In other words, when the father will have money. Another pshat is that when is there a halacha that you don't have to spend more than 20% of your assets? This person has assets, but let's say they're tied up. They're tied up in accounts or wherever. That's not called a person who doesn't have assets. Says the Moraham Rabbi Yehuda, Hakamayi the Bota Tanakam Rabbi Yehuda agree. The Kolecha the Leka Elacham Islaim. That he doesn't have any more Nacham Islaim. Who Koinim Lamanai? He has to take care of his own Pidyan Aben first. My Tama. What's the reason? Mitzvah de gufa edifa. He always has to take care of his own mitzvah, first. Ki pligi, when do we have this machlokes? Hechadeka chamish mishabadim. Where he has five sloim that are tied up, and he has chamish pnei chayrim. Rabbi Yehuda sava milva de ksibatayr kesuv b'shtar damya. An obligation that is written in the Torah. The obligation to have a pidyon ben is an obligation that's written in the Torah. So therefore, if I have tied up assets, but there's a mortgage on them, that mortgage comes first. So Yehuda holds these assets are considered assets that I could take back to do the pinyon aben. And therefore, what happens here is, as soon as the boy was born, even though the father's assets were sold before the boy was born, but he had the obligation to have a pinyon aben before. So we'll use those tied up assets for the father's pinyon aben, and the Bnei Chayim will be used for the son's Bnei Pidyon Ben. Bahani Chamish, with the five sloyim that he has available, Parak Lebrei, and then Vazel Kayim V'Taraf Leil Chamish Mishabadim L'Dedei, the five sloyim that are tied up will be used for the father's Pidyon Ben. Rabbanan Savri, but the Rabbanan's opinion is that even though there is a Chiv Daraisa to do a Pidyon Ben, that doesn't make it that you have a right to take away assets that were sold for that purpose. For Rabban and Savri, milva de ksiv baraisa lav kiksuv b'shtar damya. So he only has five sloim available. Since he only has five sloim available, so hilcha mitzvah de gufa edif, taking care of your own obligation, comes first. Tan Rabbanan, liftes es b'noy laos regal. A person has two obligations. He has the obligation to do a pinyon aben, and he has the obligation to go up to be oil regal, says the Gemara, and he doesn't have enough to do both. Paidus benoi v'akach oil regal. Yuda Omer oil regal v'akach paidus benoi shezu mitzvah averis. To go up oil regal could only be done on yontif. Since it could only be done on yontif, do it immediately. The zoo, the bits of pinyon aben, could be done at a later time, the zoo mitzvah she'en averis. Says the Gemara, Bishlam Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda explains his position. Dama Tami explained his position very well. But ask the Gemara, El Rabbanon, my Tamayu, how do we understand the opinion of Rabbanon? Answers the Gemara, the opinion of the Rabbanon is we follow the order of the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Kol b'chol b'necha tipada. First the Torah says, Kol b'chol b'necha tipada. And only afterwards does the Torah say, V'lo yer p'nei rekom, we should do a li'l regal. So since the Torah tells us to follow this order, that's why we should follow that order. Tarabonim, says the Gemara Menayin. How do we know? Shim ha'yolei chamish banim chamish nashim. If somebody has five sons from five different wives, shechayev liftes kulan, that the halacha is that he has to do a separate pinyon aben for each one of them. Says the Gemara, Tamalayim, kol b'chol b'nechatifta. All of your children who are b'chayrim, you have to do a pidyon aben. Ask the Gemara, pshita, isn't that obvious? B'pet rechem tal rachmana. Any child who is the first out of the womb of his mother has a chiv, a pidyon aben. So if all five of these boys fit that requirement, there should be a chiv, a pidyon aben. Answers the Gemara, ma de tema nalef. We should learn the halacha b'char from the halacha of Yerusha. We know a b'char gets a double portion. But when we speak about the b'char who gets that double portion, it's reishis oinai, the firstborn child to the father. Here too, af kan reishis oinai. The way I saw the Mefarshim explain the Gemara, what the Gemara means to say is that you're only chayiv an opinion of Ben if you have both conditions met, that you're a peter rechem, you're the firstborn to your mother, and also you're the firstborn to your father, Kamashmalan, that there's only one condition that has to be met. And that is that you were the firstborn to your mother, Petrechem. Lalambe Taira, we learned earlier that a father has an obligation to teach his son Taira. Ask the Gemara Nolan, from where do we know this halacha? The Ksiv, V'lamartem Oysem Es B'neichem. Says the Gemara, V'hecha Deloi Agmar Avua. in a situation where his father did not teach him Torah, he has an obligation to teach himself. You have an obligation to make sure you learn. How do we know that a mother does not have an obligation to teach her children Torah? Here we learn, everybody who has an obligation to learn has an obligation to teach their children. Somebody who doesn't have an obligation to learn themselves doesn't have the obligation to teach others. But ask the Gemara, and from where do we know that the mother does not have an obligation to learn Torah? Where other people have to teach, whoever doesn't have an obligation that other people have to teach them, so from here we learn that if a father has to teach, he has to learn himself. Another way, not. And ask the Gemara, but how do we know, how do we know that others don't have an obligation, parents don't have an obligation to teach the children, the daughters Torah, the ksiv, and from here we learn, you only have the obligation to teach your children your sons and not you anyone else. However, the Shulchan Aruch points out, this is in Yerodeo, Simen Reish Mem Vav Siv Vav, Isha Shalom the Torah, if a woman does learn Torah, Yesh Le Schar, she gets reward, as we're going to learn, there's a difference between a person who's obligated to do a mitzvah versus a person who's not obligated to do a mitzvah. A woman gets schar for learning Torah, but not in the category of a mitzvah v'aisa. But points out the Rama a number of halachas. One is that the Rama says that a woman is obligated to learn the halachas that apply to her. She has to know what she needs to know to do to live a religious life. Moreover, says the Rama, that even though, as we just learned, a mother doesn't have an obligation to teach her children Torah, the halacha is a mother who does help her husband learn, a mother who helps her children learn, will share in the schar that those boys get. The Shulchan Aruch also paskins that even though we just learned that women are not obligated to learn Torah, they do Birkas HaTorah. And the Magen Avraham explains, because just like we just learned, they're obligated to learn what they need to know, so for that they have to make Birkas HaTorah. Others explain that they make a Birkas HaTorah because the tefillah, they are obligated to daven, and tefillah, in order to daven, one has to first say Birchas HaTorah. Says the Gemara, Tarabaran, hu lilmoid. If we have a situation where the father needs to learn, ubenoi lilmoid, but there's not enough funds available that both should learn. The halacha is hu kaidim lilmoid. He comes before his son. Yudaimer, ibenoi zuzurus umamolach. If the son is very bright and he will succeed, then the Talmuda miskayim biyadoi, and he'll remember what he'll learn. That benoy kaidmai. The Ein Yaakov points out that what happens if they're both good, then the halacha is that you should send your son to learn, because every time a son learns, a father also gets schar. But a son doesn't get schar when his father learns. So in that case, we should send the son to yeshiva, not to the father. It says the Gemara Kahadar of Yaakov, Raider of Acha B'Yaakov, Shadri Avula Kamed Abaya. He was sent to learn the yeshiva of Abaya. Kiyosa, when he came home, Chazi Adalav and Mechadad and Shemaitzai, he saw that he wasn't so successful in his learning. Amalei, so at that point, he said that, Rav Yaakov said that, I see, I'm a bigger Talmud Chacham from you, and since I'm a bigger Chacham, Tov Ata, you stay home, and Ana Ezel Ana, and I'll learn. So in other words, Tosfos Rit explains, originally Rav Acha thought that his son will succeed more than he did, but then he saw that he wasn't. And the Ben Yoyada explains, there are two types, we know when we speak about learning, there's Bekias, learning, accomplishing much, and Iyun. And he said that they were both expert in Bekias, and he sent them to Yeshiva to learn Iyun. But that wasn't something that he was succeeding in. So he says, let me go learn and you'll stay home. Shem Abaye Dav Ka'asi. So now Abaye hears that Rav Ach is coming to learn. Hava hu mazik bei Rabbanan Abaye. There was a mazik, a shed, who was in the yeshiva. The chav aile betrain afil b'yom avimitzki. Usually shedim don't come out by day. And usually shedim are scared of two people. Here, these shedim were so powerful they didn't have any of this fear. And that says the Gemara, Amalu Shalaylesif Inishespizu. Nobody should not invite Rav Acha to their home. And what will happen was, Vefishtim Srachish Nisut. So there'll be a nace that he'll be able to get rid of the shade. And says the Gemara, Old Bos Bahubei Rabbanan. So Rav Acha, since he had nowhere else to sleep, he slept in the yeshiva. Vidmalei. And the Mazik appeared to Rav Acha, Ketanina the Shivirish Vasei, like a snake with seven heads. The call kriya the kara, Rashi learns that every time Rav Acha bowed down when he damaged Shemoneh Esrei, nosa chad resha, one head fell down. Amalahu lemachar, so Rav Acha told him the next day, Eloi srachash nisa, if not that I had this nace, iska sakinta, I would have been in great danger. So of course the Mashah asks, how could Abaye have put Rav Acha into such danger? So he says, he answers that Rav Abaye was certain that Rav Acha had the schusim, that he had nothing to worry about. Another pshat that I saw the Mefarshim playing, because the Gemara says that even if a nace happens, menakon loy mischiyosav, so why wasn't there a concern that it would take away from the schusim? So the Yad Yosef explains that concern only exists in a situation where the person knows that he's going into Malkum Sukkana and he's relying on his chusim. He wasn't relying on his chusim. So I saw that the Sefer, Cheshukei Chemed, actually points this out. He speaks about his grandfather, the famous Rav Aryeh Levine, who we know Rav Aryeh Levine, there was a hospital for Mitzrayim in Yerushalayim, and Rav Aryeh Levine would go visit that hospital on a regular basis. And the Cheshukei Chemed, Rav Zilberstein Shlita, asks, how did Rav Aryeh Levine go to such a dangerous place where the chance of catching this was so significant? So Rav Elyashev answered, Rav Aryeh Levine was his father-in-law. He says that for Rav Aryeh Levine, it was mutter. And I think the explanation is that it's exactly like our Gemara, that even though it was dangerous to go to this place for Rav Acha to be in this Beis Medrash with this shed, but for a person like him, there was nothing to worry about. Tan Rabbanan, Lelamda Torah Isha Isha. Somebody has two mitzvahs to teach his son Torah and to marry him off. Yom Torah V'Akach Isha Isha. First, he should learn Torah and then get married. However, says the Gemara, if this is a situation that he has to get married because he wants to remain the kedusha b'tara, the yetzer hara starting up with him, yisi isha v'achkach yom Torah. Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, halacha naisi isha v'achkach yom Torah. The halacha is the first time they should get married and then they should learn. Rabbi Yochanan Amar says, Rabbi Yochanan Rechaim B'Tzavaroi, once somebody gets married, he has this obligation to take care of his family. How could we ask him to learn Torah? Answers the Gemara, so he says, learn Torah first. Says the Gemara, V'loi Pligi Halom V'loi Lahu. So there's a number of pshatim in this Gemara. Rashi explains that the Bnei Bavel would go to learn in Eretz Yisrael after they got married. So one, since they weren't home, they didn't have any of the household responsibilities on them. Since they didn't have any of those responsibilities, they could get married and then learn. But the people in Eretz Yisrael who would stay home, they coming home every night, seeing the responsibility, they had to get married. They should learn to get married. Rabbeinu Tam says just the opposite. The people of Bavel didn't really have yeshivas, so they went to Yisrael. So therefore, says the Rabbeinu Tam, it's unacceptable to send a married man to learn in yeshiva. So he has to first go to yeshiva and then learn Torah. But on the other hand, says Taisus, the people in Eretz Yisrael who had yeshivas available to them, since they had yeshivas available to them, the halacha is that they should get married, and they could continue learning in the yeshivas in their neighborhood. The Chiddush Arim says that this is the source of the minig that the chassan, before he gets married, they make an oifruf and they throw candies at him. What we're telling him is that, and in the bag of the candies, there should be walnuts and almonds. What is so significant about walnuts and almonds? They grow by themselves. They grow easily. They're easy to get. What we're saying to the chassan is that you're getting married. You're going to be but you're still standing by the chuppah. And since you're standing by the Torah, if you will commit yourself to learning Torah, then you have nothing to worry about. Your panosa will come easy to you, like the candies that are in there. So I saw that the Klausenberger Rebbe says our Gemara has a discussion: what should you do? Get married first or learn first? But there's no question that even after you're married, you should continue learning in every time that you have available. B'shtabaglai Rav Chisda, Rav Huna b'Rav Hamnuna, says the Gemara, Rav Chisda was praising Rav Hamnuna in front of Rav Huna. Dadam Godelhu, he's a great person. Amalei, so Rav Huna said to Rav Chisda, K'shiyova l'yotko, when Rav Huna comes, hiviyu l'yodai, please, I'd like to meet him. K'yosa, so when Rav Huna came, chazi the leparas sudra, he saw he wasn't wearing a talus over his head like married people normally do. Amalei ma tamalei priest sidra, why aren't you wearing this talus? Amalei delena sivna, because I never got married. A hedrin lepenimene, he turned away from him. He refused to look at him because, as the Mashal explains, the Gemara says osel estakel b'fnei adam rasha, and in his opinion, somebody who isn't married is considered an adam rasha. Why was Rav Huna following this opinion? The Amar ben Esrim Shana. Once somebody's 20 years old, Lo'nasa Isha, and he hasn't yet gotten married, Kol Yomav Bavera, he's considered that he did an Avera. Bavera Soka Daitach, what Avera has he done? Says the Gemara, Kol Yomav Bavera Avera, because he doesn't have a wife. Amar Avav V'chein Tana Deberi B'Shmal Ad Esrim Shana, until a person is 20 years old, the Kadosh Baruch Hu waits till he gets married. Once he's 20 years old and then get married, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Tipach Atzmaisav, let him rat. So the Chidah explains, because Adam Arishin was created as a 20-year-old. So that's why you're supposed to, and he got married by 20, that's when we should get married. Others explain that since the Bezna Shamala doesn't give punishment until he's 20 years old, so that's why you should, by 20 you should be married. Why am I better than my colleagues? Than the Sivna B'shitza. I got married when I was 16 years old. If he having the Sivna B'abes, if I would have gotten married with a 14, have a minimal Satan gear by Necha, that I could tell the Satan, you can't do anything to me. Amle Rava L'Rav Nosson Bar Ami. As long as you have your hands on your shoulders of your on your son's shoulders. That means until you have the influence of your son, then you should marry him off. B'shitzer v'ad aser v'tarti. That means from the age of 16 to 22. Amrilei b'tamni sari abes rabbi from 18 to 24. Says the Gemara, ketanoi, this machloikis, what is the proper age to get married, is based on the pasuk. Because the pasuk says in Mishnah, chaneich l'nar al pidakoi, Rav Yehuda v'Rav Nechemya, charam v'mishitzer v'ad tarti shanim, that the proper time to marry off is from 16 to 22, the proper time is till the age of 24.